So Suyan just on the recorder. Yeah, we are still early. Another 12 minutes to go. So yeah. Oh, he was admitted to the hospital in Spain. according to Enos, before she went, she already, I think, quite tired. Then a lot of work because the office got a lot of pressure to deliver the sales. Oh, and it seems they are not getting it. No, it's okay. Nothing. It's just a normal trip because Ethica, the insurance company, I think they all must have met the quota or what. So they had this annual trip. So they went. Then when he was there, I think the food was not suitable. So he don't have appetite. Then I think also not enough rest. Then the weather, don't know what happened. Supposed to be near summer, isn't it? Yeah. Oh. He say very cold. He say 1 degree. It dropped to 1 degree. So. And it affected her. Then they sent her to the hospital because there was no clinic. So they sent her to the hospital. So when he was at the hospital, I think it's one of the top 2 hospitals in the city. Then they did the check. They realized he got a heart attack. Artery block. One of the artery 90% block. So she had a heart attack. But normally lady don't have one. That's why I think it's a family history. Because the brother also very young. Got stroke. But it was a blessing in disguise. Because if they had not detected it there, then it may happen anywhere. Then all covered by insurance. Because Ethica is a Maybank insurance, I think, quite big. So it turned out to be a blessing in disguise. But the doctor advised her not to fly. She's supposed to come back on the 10th. So she stayed on. Then maybe have to go through an op. Not very sure. I think must have gone through already. Oh, no problem. No problem. Well, she talked to Anne like normal. Because if it's the artery block, when they admit you, they will jab you on. Then they will do a lot of tests. I think the first one is the ECG. ECG must have detected something. Then they do the CT scan, they confirm the blockage. Like for me, when I was on the ambulance, I already stabilized. Then when I reached there, they jab, I asked them, can I go back? They said, do you know you got a heart attack? We had to keep you for observation at least 3 nights, 4 days. That's why I stay there. Well, to them, the moment they detect a heart elevation, they will ask you to get yourself admitted, then they will monitor you. But it's good to get it detected early. The moment you have any sign, you don't wait. You better get yourself self-admitted. Get an ambulance. That is the best. Ambulance, they say senior citizen free. Senior citizen is free. But even if it's non-senior citizen, you should get an ambulance. Where you go with the ambulance is different. All the facility will be ready for you. if you go with the ambulance. The ambulance will call them direct. Yeah. Otherwise, you drive yourself there, even you go to the emergency ward, they ask you to register everything. Very slow. Then you wait for the queue, wait for the doctor and all those things. But you go ambulance, priority, the stretcher already. The moment you arrive, the nurse, the doctor, they are all there. We still got seven minutes. If you got any question, you can ask. Today is the 11 April 2019, Thursday class, yeah.
Because you see, like what this is what they have done. No, to say every only those that those creatures.
Yeah. That's why her seat was given to the niece. Anne's niece take over. Yeah. Sally's daughter. Yes. Sally's daughter, Alicia. Yeah, Alicia, they go. Yeah. Sally's daughter, lah. Yeah.
Because I don't know what if like if for instance like if there's only one other.
One of them.
When you go to another window, it's wrong. Then you go back to the link and then like this place and then you just press that this whatever is it, is wrong, problematic. You don't have to write down like you really detail like break down every no need. You just cross that window that you have to change this one. Yes, I know. That's why a lot of things have been. And this was, at first, when I used the mouth to scroll down, I thought everyone is like, able to open up. Then I think, no problem. Then when I saw Christine, I was surprised. No, even though it's on the click to the entry, you can open the entry tree, it doesn't mean that you can play. Yeah, you can put on top, don't worry. It's just to offer, put your offering, The outline short notes are out, Tuesday class and Thursday class, Then I think Amy spotted one of the slight discrepancy typo error. I didn't know where, when I read through, I thought Yun Chan should understand, so I didn't amend anything. But then the word become different.
instead of a permanent unchanging entity become an impermanent unchanging entity. But Yun Chan very cute. The whole 2 hour plus, he 3 line only finished. he always like that one. He said, but still nothing to write. Then when I reflect on what, well, I need the condition to recall what I share. But none, no, just that 3. Oh, wow, how? Then got one time, I have to go and on the recorder and listen myself. Then I realized I missed out so many things. Then after I corrected and edited and added in, he wrote me, thank you so much, brother, for helping me to do it. Because she, I think she's so used to summarizing things. Then every time she sit there, now at least she bring a notebook. Last time I don't think there's any notebook. She tried to write something. Then I thought she will be writing something. But every time come, either 3 or 4, maximum 5. Whereas the Thursday class, 2 page, 3 page. Wanji's daughter very good. She really listen or no. Then she use her own words and so for me, I read through Wanji's daughter one very easy. I know where it go wrong. Well, it give me a lot of pointer on what I hate share. Then he repeated quite a lot of those important words that I use. That's why the moment I read, I know what that topic is really. But it's really interesting, you see the difference. Different people do differently. Then my daughter one also very detailed. She understand. That one I don't need to change my. But it's a good exercise if you do the short note. Actually, you help yourself, you improve your understanding. Okay. Maybe we can... exactly 8:10. Get the 2 selected one to help light the incense and candle. We leave it to Suyana easier. Jinhao, okay. Stephanie and Jinhao come. Stephanie, hi. Okay, the rest of us can stand. Okay, let us start with the tray. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 Sadhu. Ah, got one more flower. Sadhu, 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 Sadhu. Okay, you all can visit that. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Suakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you all can be seated, then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant the Vandana onward. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata veramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. Adina dana veramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. Kamesu micchachara veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musawada veramani sikkha samadhiyami. Suramiraya machapamadatana veramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Now we are chanting the Padipa Puja offering of light. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dopena hang suganghina Pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana mutamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe Pujemi buddhang kasumena nena punnena mattena cha hotu mokhaṁ pupaṁ milayati yata idaṁ me kayo tata yati vinasa bhavaṁ adivasetu no bante Paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now we are chanting the puja aspiration based on our understanding of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of this offering, may our spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power. Sharing our merits with all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Triple Gem. Bất đăng phụ chê mê. Đà mang phụ chê mê. Sáng hăng phụ chê mê. Okay, you can be seated. You can have half an hour of silent meditation. We are off the light, then you just relax body and mind completely, free your mind, be at ease, then just silence everything and just maintain mindfulness or awareness. If you have stabilized your spiritual faculty, then you can go into the meditative state straight away. You can anchor your mind to anything that you are comfortable with. You can go to your mind base if you are used to it. And the other way is to go to your object of meditation, where you just maintain the awareness there. Then for those who need to train your mind, you continue to train. Then for those who still need to go through the preliminary exercise to decondition your heedless thinking and combine with loving kindness or metta to make your mind calm, peaceful, and just aware, you just do it. Then later on, combine with anapanasati to stabilize it. That's it. Okay, I'll let you continue your own meditation. Then I will set the alarm. After the 30 minutes, I will ring the bell. you can slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind states you need to make use of, to cultivate the daily mindfulness. Okay, now we will turn to page 6. We will do the chanting, invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the devas or deities come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gatantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasta Sunantu Sagamokkhadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijja charana sampano sukato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta Deva Manosanam Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pajatang Veditapo Vinohiti Supatipano Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipano Bhagavato Savakasango Yaya Patipano Bhagavato Savakasango Samichi Patipano Bhagavato Savakasango Yadidam Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato savakasango ahuneyo pahuneyo dakineyo anjali karaneyo anuttarang punyaketang lokasati sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Pajam Padang Pajami. Namang Pujami Sanghang Pujami Okay. You can be seated, eh? Then just maintain some form of attentiveness, eh? Then we will continue with our second session, which is meditation reporting, eh? You want to report your meditation, followed by whatever question that you have, you can. You just put up your hand, then we will pass you the mic. Anybody? As usual, I'm very shy, or already understood. No need to report already. If you're still not sure, it's good that you report, because when you report, you can learn. You just have to report exactly how you go about doing the meditation. Then I will know how to guide you. You don't have to. Yeah.
Yes.
But
just now, when doing the meditation, The breathing is very clear and very clear without disturbance of thoughts coming in. But after a while, these thoughts coming say, shall I report afterwards what I have experienced the other day?
Good, that
so
is good.
Thoughts keep coming back. Don't worry, afterwards only. I go back, then the breathing in and out clear again, and then I settle down. And
Then so you just relax. Relax. Very good.
So now I think I better
Sadhu. Sadhu. Because by reporting this, you will learn and other people can learn from you. Because you have stabilized your sati and you are able to do it because this is part of the daily mindfulness cultivation. That's why when you have done your daily mindfulness, you settle down very fast. Your anapanasati also very fast, you settle down. Then it's normal for this type of thought to arise. This is to let you see, just like what Tammy went through. How come this type of thought? Because before you come for the meditation, you already have the intention to ask. That's why this thought will arise. And this is what accumulation is all about. The very subtle accumulation, or what we call, it's not really an attachment. It's without you knowing it, because you give it a meaning, you have an intention to do it, and it went in already, and so fast. Then when you become very quiet, then the mind has nothing to do. You're supposed to allow it to be and let it stabilize and settle down. But it's quite normal for this type of thought to arrive, because there was an intention early on. So not only you see this, later on you will see a lot more of other things that you hold on to without you knowing it. You just give a little bit of attention to that thing, then it go in already, and very fast. But later on, when you are mindful and aware, you realize it doesn't get accumulated. It doesn't get accumulated. But when you are not aware, because this is what the thinking is all about. when there is no clarity and when there is no understanding, that type of thinking that arises is an intention. The intention to ask, or there is a what they call, you give attention to that thing, or you comment on that thing. And sometimes it could be anything that you encounter while living life, or while interacting with your colleague, or with your children, or even with your loved ones. So sometimes certain things, the habitual tendency thing, they still arise. And you will start to see them and understand them, because this thing that arise, you have already given attention to it, and it has become a habit. Then it will be accumulated. So it becomes like a tendency that you always do. Then this will become like something they call habitual in its movement. So that's why when you got nothing to do, then that tendency will arise. But for your this case is different. Your this case is the subtle one, because you just make that intent to ask that question the next time when you come for the meditation or the class. That's why that condition arises, then you can recall. And when you recall, the thought will arise. But because you understand, let it be after the meditation, then you settle down again. So meditation, as I say, if you understand, our purpose here is to train the mind, to stabilize the sati that has been trained, then to go into tranquility or stillness of mind. That paucity is very important. So that one, I think, for you, because you know how to meditate, especially in the lying down also, even in the retreat, you have already realized that paucity. But the only thing is, you cannot develop it into a continuous daily life type of mindfulness. Because for you to take that in, that paucity has to be very stable. Stable until you come out of it. The moment you come out of it, the awareness is with you or not, especially when you are in that state of paucity, tranquility or stillness of mind. Immediately after that, the meditation, everything is very clear, like what your anapanasati is. But this one is regarding your mind in sati. When your mind is in sati, every movement, every activity is in sati. Then, without the thought arising, the awareness will be with all this movement. Then you realize everything you do is like that one. Yeah. That's how you start. Then when that thing come, don't be complacent. Don't get excited. Then after that, it will disappear. But if you are not complacent, you are very, very attentive, then there is a lot of joy. Then you will know. Then you will make use of it to develop the continuity of mindfulness. And that one can be done very easily in the retreat. Many people have the ability to do it. But the skill is after the retreat. Yeah. That's why the religious routine is very important. The religious routine will enable you to do that. I remember when I did it in 1986 to 89, that 3 years, I was throughout the day, although I was still working and all those things, but throughout the day, I maintained that mindfulness. That's why that mindfulness become a part of me, even in the midst of life. Then everything I do is in sati. The seeing is in sati. That's how I came to understand the mind that is in sati is so different. Then every moment of hearing, the attentiveness is different. There is clarity. That's why it doesn't accumulate anymore. Otherwise, it will accumulate one. Yeah. Because when you get excited in something, it will accumulate already. Even when there is joy or whatever, of course the negative one, the phobia, the traumatic thing, which by now, after you have gone through the cultivation, you have very little or none of them already. So that one, you will not accumulate as a new thing anymore. But you will start to see the more subtle one, the excitement and all those things. Yeah. Then sometimes the joy. When that joy arrives because you have transformed, your form and mind will know you have transformed. Then sometimes you have developed the insight, the ability to understand. Then there is this clarity, there is this joy inside. Even this joy, if you are not careful, it can also go in and get accumulated without you knowing it. Yeah. Then the danger of this is complacency, where you think you have developed it, you think you already know it, you think that's it. Yeah. It's only that's it after you have awakened. If you have awakened, then the understanding is already there. Then like the Buddha say, you have finished your work. Means you do not need to actually go for training anymore. They call it asekha. You are no longer a sekha. Sekha means you still under training. So when you still under training, your precept is very important as well. You have to be ever mindful of your precept. You still cannot take things for granted. You cannot be complacent. You cannot be like very excited and too eagerly want to share and want to teach. You can see all this movement. And then the thought will tell you, hey, maybe now you are ready, you can. But if you want to share, not a problem. Share up to your level of understanding. Then if you're not sure, you qualify it. Based on my understanding now, this is what I think it is. And then no harm. There is no coming. There is no whatever that can actually, they call it the karmic obstruction. If you teach the wrong thing, that one won't happen because you qualify it. You share based on what you understand now. So you will qualify it to an understanding. But when you are very clear and very sure, you can actually just share. The sharing part normally will arise by itself and you will know. Because when you have stabilized your understanding, even after you have the glimpse of Nibbana, you could be on the path of the sainthood way. But the fruition is not so fast. Unless you have cultivated before in the past, then the path and fruition will come together very fast. Then you like breeze through. Yeah. Otherwise, for you to end up in the fruition, you will have to reflect and contemplate until very, very clear. Then when you realize the fruition means, it's like you get to reap the fruit of your hard work. Understand? Means the like the plant or the mango tree, you plant until it flower, pollinate, then it develop into a fruit. Then it ripen. So that fruition is, you can actually have the fruit. Means you already stabilize it. So you will get to experience or reap the result of the hard work that you have done. So that fruition will give rise to the understanding for you to share. Then during that time, you will come to an understanding that how come now I can express it so easily? I don't have to like do anything, try to write note or what, no need. You can just respond like that. But before that, you understand, but you cannot express it out. And that is when you are on the path. When you are on the path, you actually have the wisdom, right, the understanding. But that understanding is not stabilized. So you cannot express it, but on your own, you can solve your problem already. That's why when you are on the path of the Sakadagami, or even Sotapanna shape, or even Anagami or Arahanta, you already sever those fetters already. Yeah. But the friction is the stability of it. So when you realize the friction, there's a path and friction, then after that you move to the next path. The very strange thing about cultivation is, unless you have cultivated in the past, otherwise, you have to go step by step. My nature went through, I realized, before you understand this, you cannot understand the higher teaching and the higher Dhamma. Very, very strange. Yeah. But if you have done in the past, you can just like breeze through it, and you understand very fast up to the level where you have developed the understanding to. But from there onward, you will have to continue like normal people, normal pace. Then it will progress according to how the individual's understanding is. If your understanding has reached a stage of training, especially those who go the Bodhisattva way, if you have gone through the Diamond Sutta cultivation, that type of teaching, then when you come, you are very different. You are like Hui Ning, and you are like my nature. You can understand very fast, and then a lot of things just, the moment you hear truth, you will awaken one. You will understand one. And sometimes the person who spoke that truth, he still don't understand. Like the merchant that chant the Diamond Sutta, he still doesn't know what the Diamond Sutta is. But Hui Ning, the moment he heard it, the mind must have no dwelling. Straight away, he came to great awakening. So all these are possible for people who has developed the cultivation before. Then as you develop this ability to stabilize the understanding, the friction part is very important. After that, you realize you can relate this understanding to life. Then everything is just the way it is. It echoes with the Dhamma that you have realized. But this Dhamma is like what the Buddha chant, Svakato Bhagavata Dhammo. Then this Dhamma is Sanditiko, Akaliko, Ehipasiko, Opanayiko, Pachetang, Veditabbo, Vinohiti. Then you realize everything is so beautiful. Then the essential Dhamma, everything, so clear, everything just fall into place. And all these are possible because of heedfulness, nothing else. Without heedfulness, there is no training. Without heedfulness, there is no meditation. Everything settle down on heedfulness. That's why the Buddha in his Dhammapada verse is very clear. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So all this, you will start to develop the understanding. So this one is the formal meditation where you see the arising of this thought. Well, by then, like your case, Ingby's case is more stable. Tammy Yohan, not so stable yet. Yeah? The thought still arise. Yeah? But at least now she has reached a state where she can be aware of those arising. Then sometimes when she lost into it, she can come out of it very fast because she knows she lost into it. But for your case, it's different. You have more clarity for Ingby's case. So you will start to see more and more of this. Then you understand the subtle clinging, the subtle attachment, the subtle accumulation. Whatever you accumulate in your brain, there is attachment. If you are not mindful, if you are not heedful. And then you realize so many things go in. No wonder the living being is crazy. Heedless like anything. They cannot do anything to it because everything is to them like important. They have given undue importance to all this without themselves being aware. That's why without awareness you become heedless. And you think a lot. And you have a lot of reaction of mind. Like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. Then you are most of the time agitated, restless, not peaceful, unhappy. Then you realize, after you transform, the heedful way of living is so different. The one that has the understanding, the initial wisdom, yonisomanasika, is so different. The mind does not, like before, stir and react anymore. It's most of the time able to be at peace with whatever situation. Then it has the tendency to smile more. And there is always joy. No matter what happens, it will not panic anymore. It will not be like in the early day. Wow, you straight away are like, either you panic or you get very agitated or fear, worry, anxiety, and all those things. And sometimes certain things happen, you like get very excited like that. But as you develop the training, the cultivation, the understanding, you realize that all this emotion and movement, they become like is something no longer exists in you. You can come to terms with them. You can understand them. Then if you need to have the understanding to develop the joy of what you do it with awareness. And there is this joy and there is awareness in it. And everything is about sati with the awareness. That's why you really live life. You are with the moment. You are with the whatever understanding that has arisen. And there is clarity in your mind. And your mind is like flowing. Very, very different. So this is the stage you will go through. Then after that, the daily mindfulness one is an entirely new field again. But the daily mindfulness one is very interesting. Once you stabilize your daily mindfulness, when you can start to see, you realize you become very different. And all the things that those Dhamma book write on, you will know they haven't reached that stage. They haven't seen them. Because the real Dhamma is life itself. You understand? Not the theory in the book, Anasana. Not just the word. You remember the sixth patriarch? When she came out of that hunter's area, then he has the condition to like go to that temple. What temple already? The place he ordained on. I forgot already. I think something like that. But before he went there, you remember there was one stage where he ran away from the sixth patriarch during the early days. He came to one place, I think, near his hometown. He hid there, actually. He was with some friends who know him. Then there was a lady, I think, who was the daughter or the sister of that, like the head man of the village. So she happened to be in that vicinity, then the beast came and attacked her. Then Huining, out of love and compassion, went and helped her and protected her. Then he himself was stung by the bee. Then he got after I think half a day or what, he became unconscious. Then this lady has a lot of gratitude, wanted to help him, so asked the brother. Then finally they managed to get a doctor, not our Western doctor, their Thai or doctor, to come and really help him, and he recovered. After he recovered, they asked him, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm a cultivator." So they thought cultivator means he has the Dhamma and he is very educated and all things. Then he said, "My kuku, kuku means what? An, is it? Call. The daughter said, "I got a call or aunt who is also a nun who actually practiced the Dhamma, and she's very good." He said, "I will introduce her to you." So she went with Huining later on to visit her, and that cuckoo initially taught her, "Wow, a great cultivator. We are based on what the niece described, very compassionate and very wise and all that." Then first thing he asked Huining is what? "No, where did you learn your this meditation? Then can you explain to me the Nibbana Sutta?" Where she was reciting the Nibbana Sutta studying. Then she passed the book to Huining. Huining said, "I don't know how to read." When he say he don't know how to read, the cuckoo becomes suspicious. Then how can you say you are a cultivator? A cultivator don't even know how to read. Means you are illiterate. Then you know what Hui Neng told her or not? He said, the Dhamma is not in the word. Fa 不在文字里面. That is the meaning. That is the one that I want to share with you all so that you all understand. Because what you all study in the scripture or in the text, then they use the commentary and all those things and teach you, these are all words, 文字, concept, thought. This is not the Dhamma. Then he told her, is it, when you want to realize the moon, you use your finger to point at the Dhamma, is it? To point at the moon, is it? So when you want to realize the moon, you have to grace beyond your finger. And this finger is like the Dhamma that points towards truth. If you want to realize the truth, the truth is not the Dhamma. The Dhamma points towards the truth. You need to use word, 文字, to describe what that thing is. But that word is not that thing. Like the tree is not the actual tree. The actual tree got no words on, nothing on. It's just that pure perception or awareness. You must feel it. You must understand it through that pure awareness, pure perception. So the real Dhamma in daily life or in your daily mindfulness cultivation is the same. This is the cultivation that will transform you from the Dhamma into real life understanding. Means the awakening. Life itself is nature's truth. Because everything that happens is in life is truth. Thing is just the way it is. There is no word. But living being used the thought and create the word. So this word camouflage the thing and prevent you from the real direct seeing, the insight. That's why you can never understand. So all of perception, later on when you understand through your daily mindfulness, you realize before you perceive, before the word come out, that thing has got nothing on. That's why the Buddha say, learn to see things as they are. Not when the brain came in and developed the conditioning, the views, the opinion, then this one interfere with your seeing, interfere with your hearing. Then you tend to use word to interpret your memory, your conditioning, your views, your opinion. All this is thought-based. All this is knowledge. That's why under the Mahayana teaching, when you go into the Wuliang Shou Jing, Wuliang Yi Jing is another one, no? That one, Sanbu Jing one. What? Wuliang Shou Jing is Amitabha Buddha's Sutta. He says, Suo Zi Zhang. That is the one. Whatever you know is knowledge, and that is an obstruction to Dhamma. Because you use words to know. There is nothing to know. Like Jai Krishnamurti said, the most dangerous person in this world is the one who says, I know. Because everything that you come to know is through memory, through knowledge, concept, not the real understanding. The real one, no word one, nothing to know, is an understanding. When you understand its movement, you understand the dependent origination theory. The condition arising, causal phenomena, the universal characteristic. It's just like a Cameron Highland, the turtle, the message at the back, yeah, of the stupa. Yeah. All Buddha, all master teach the same. You cannot understand condition, you cannot understand Dhamma. Because Dhamma is alive. It's in a state of flux, continuously in the midst of life and nature. It's not static. So daily mindfulness will allow you to see all this, to understand all this. Then you realize, he know you, he know me inside. Through an understanding, not through Dhamma, not through the word. Oh, anatta, non-self, this is not me. Nothing to do with that. Because when you awaken through the daily mindfulness, you realize the understanding is so different. It's nothing to do with the words. That's why, because of Ingby's condition, she can understand, I can share this part. Otherwise, there is no condition. Even if I share, it will not make much point or impact, because most of you are not ready. So that daily mindfulness is just like the form of meditation. When you start to see all this, in the daily mindfulness, you will start to see a lot of other things. Then you will start to see those that are beyond thought, beyond word. The sati, the mindfulness, the awareness is the one that really see, not the thought, not the memory. Yeah. Then you will have more and more understanding after that, because everything you come to see is like very pristine, very beautiful. And there is nothing that the memory will come and tell you, oh, this one I seen already, I eaten already. No more. Like Eckhart, you remember? The room that he has been staying for so long, all of a sudden after he come out, it's like he haven't seen the room before. Everything is just so pristine, so beautiful. And how the ray come in, and how they actually shine and develop the environment. And everything was so beautiful. That time he really see. It's just like during the early day, I remember. That 1 week after the Monday mind collapse, I was so amazed. How come last time I never see? Everything is still the same, no? But how come now it's so different? Because no more mundane mind, nothing to cloud. And that real seeing, so clear, no? That clarity and the understanding. That's why everything becomes so different. That's why I told my wife, I said, what is all this? How come like that one? That's why the real cultivation, the real transformation is not what the theory tell you, not what the book tell you. That's the reason why over the past 2,000 years, from the time of Sakyamuni until now, do you realize that teaching become more and more thought-based? Huh? Less and less people can understand and awaken. It's because they use thought. Commit to memory, they chant, they commit to memory, then they go for commentary, commit to memory again, then use that same commentary and share or teach. They not deviate from anything that is not written in the commentary. Understand? No? But they scare people say you're wrong. But they got no reference to refer to. And that is the reason why when you come to my class during the early day, a lot of you all were like, how can it be that way? Because never heard before. And a lot of things that I share and I teach, I dare to tell you, this is what I realize, what my nature understands. And it's completely opposite of what you used to learn and all those things. Yeah. But as you progress, as you transform, as you develop the understanding, when your daily mindfulness becomes stabilized, you will start to understand all these things. That's why nowadays the sharing, I realize, is easier. Because most people now can follow. And even the new people, well, like Kowloon, they are clean slate, don't have any past conditioning, they don't learn any Dhamma before, they pick up very fast. Yeah. New people don't have the exposure to other type of teaching, the so-called Buddhist method and conditioning, they learn very fast. Because we relate to life. We relate to actual happening that they go through in life. That's why they can understand. Eric also can understand. And many of these people can understand. Because this is what memory is all about. This is what thought is all about. Spacious awareness and all that. And all these things that I share with you and talk to you, like this thought, you remember? Even that true mind, which is pure awareness, without thought, they cannot even tell you this. And the other one is the mundane mind. They can't even tell you what that thing is, the thinking mind. You just look at all these things. You realize how shallow their understanding is. That's why they can't teach. Then why thought is limited? How thought is created also they don't know. Because your nature is pure awareness, the spacious awareness without a center. Then from there, how do you create thought? To create thought, you have to perceive something for that thought to arise. But through memory, you perceive. Then you shrink the spacious awareness into this limited space where you want to perceive. That's why thought becomes limited. Thought becomes egoic. It's because before you are enlightened, the thought is always with sacrality, egoic. And it's limited. So thought is basically the pure awareness with its content when you input them through your views, opinion, and conditioning. Belief system. Whatever that you hold on to through your memory. That's why your memory is the accumulation of experiences, good and bad. It includes all your phobia, your fear, your insecurity, your whatever anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, especially worry, restlessness of mind, and all those things. Then, when you accumulate all this, you create thought through response to all this memory, all this phobia. That's why your subconscious, your unconscious, they have a lot of this trap thing, trap phobia, trap psychological fear, worry, anxiety. That's why you can have that type of nightmare, that type of dream, and all those things. Because you accumulate until there is disorder in the brain. It's like a country when there is disorder means what? There is no peace, isn't it? There is no harmony. So when there is chaos, there is riot, isn't it? There is suffering and misery, war, conflict, everything. That's why this one creates the heedlessness, creates the attachment, the craving, the clinging, the grasping. And this is the one that caused living being a lot of suffering. And the self-delusion add in to the fear. The fear of so many things. Fear of death. Fear of not achieving. Fear of losing their loved one, their job, their whatever, career, and all those things. So that fear is inherent in deluded living being, and they are very intense and very strong, and they can be triggered off any time. Yeah. Then there is also what we call insecurity. This insecurity is something that you need to see in your daily mindfulness. Because within your daily mindfulness, you can be aware of your own fear, your own worry, your own anxiety, your own sorrow. Then you realize, what is all this? Because there is this awareness. Then when you have your initial wisdom, all this starts to weaken. Weaken. They have no power over you. And like I said just now, most of the time, all this major type of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, insecurity, they will all slowly dissipate. Until, because after you cultivate, you have developed the initial wisdom, and a lot of this thing has actually develop the understanding, and you have straightened your views until you have very little of this wrong view. Then most of the time you are at peace. That's why you cannot trigger off all this. But insecurity is one thing. Insecurity is one thing I realize not easy to root out. You can reduce it, but to root out you need wisdom. You need to awaken. But this insecurity is tied to the self and tied to the non-understanding of the law of karma. Why must you feel insecure? It's because your thought project. Agree or not? That's why you secure your home. Yeah? You put what? You put grill, then alarm, then video camera some more. Then sometimes you are so fearful and so insecure, you want to even buy a very good door. They say nowadays a few thousand one. And these doors are more got very modern technology on. Sometimes voice activated, sometimes thumbprint activated, now facial recognition and all those things. So you see the WhatsApp, there is some joke, you go to the dentist, after they pull out the teeth, you come back, the door refused to open. Your voice different. So then you cut your hair, come back, facial recognition cannot recognize you. Also refuse to open. So a lot of this thing is, but what I want to drive at is this insecurity. If you have the Dhamma, you will understand. If you take care of Dhamma, Dhamma take care of you. You remember? The highest security is what? The highest protection is virtue, nothing else. That's why have faith in your own karmic nature, virtue. Then you don't have to secure anything. Yeah. But don't be so gullible as the put the car key on the engine, then leave the car there. That one is too gullible. That one you don't go and think, oh, your parami very good, nobody. You create the condition for it, it will be gone. As long as you don't create the condition, you avoid the condition, law of karma is like that. Without condition, it will not manifest. So if you know how to avoid the condition, all this will not happen. Yeah. Then you will come to an understanding that security is a false concept, a false idea that living being cling on to. In order to be secure, what do? You try to prevent others from harming you. And to the American, you know what is security or not? I can have nuclear power, you cannot have. You have is a danger to me. I have, okay. This type of security. Understand? So this is all man-made. That's why there is more and more war, more and more conflict. You cannot resolve it. But when you understand the true meaning of security through the nature's law, then you just have to take care of karma. Follow the advice of the Buddha and your life will be taken care of. Then why do you need security? Do you understand? So this is the one that a lot of people find very difficult to root out. So daily mindfulness, that field is very, very extensive. Very, very deep. But for those who have the condition to go through, you will start to understand. Then you will start to see that mind, the movement of that mind is so different. Because there is clarity. There is little or hardly any heedless thinking anymore. Then the awareness is so clear. That's how you can see the subtle greed, the subtle emotion or whatever, the very fine one which you never see before. Even the very, very subtle one, the word is really very, very subtle. You start to see them. That's why you know how to root them out. You will understand that all this comes through the way you accumulated them. Before you had the daily mindfulness, you cannot see all this. Before you had the daily mindfulness, you can only see in the form of meditation, like what you all start to see now. Then you come to an understanding that, oh, no wonder this type of thought arises, because this is how I accumulate it. Whatever that I give meaning, I accumulate. But when the daily mindfulness comes in, it is there and then you see it. There and then you realize without the attachment, the clinging, the whatever delusion, then it cannot accumulate because of the awareness. The moment you are aware, it doesn't accumulate. Then you realize life becomes so different. Like Gumoy last night was with us, with my wife. Last night she cannot sleep. She got this insomnia. Because she got a lot of problems holding on to a lot of things. After the last few years, after discussing the Dhamma, understanding all those things, because she was very happy last night. We had a lot of condition. She came for dinner. Then after dinner, we continued to discuss the Dhamma. Then she was so grateful. She was with me from 5 something until 10:30, and then only go home. And you know what she told me? She said, no, the sister and the brother, they are xian mu ta. What is xian mu ta? Admire or like xian mu, means admire, I think the word. She can sleep so easily, you know, so well, you know. He just want to sleep, he just sleep like that. Not like last night. Last night cannot sleep. And the brother and sister, they say the older they become, the more problem in getting a good sleep. See? It's because she said, she learned from me, you know what she learned from me. He said, no need to worry. No need to fear. No need to panic. Think it's just the way it is. Take care of karma. Finish. Then all those things, he said, that I share with her are very simple. No? Is it the one that hit her is what? No? All these that make you worry, suffer, miserable, fearful, are just your thought. It's only your thought. And what is thought? Arise and pass away. How real is thought? Arise and pass away. Then how come it has power over you? Then she like wake up, oh, she smiled. Yeah, 一个念头罢了, 想这么多做什么? That's why wrong thought condition, your fear, worry, anxiety. So all these are wrong thought, no? That's why the selfish thought, the emotional thought, the fearful thought, the insecure thought, the thought with phobia and all those things, these are all wrong thought. Why you even think those thoughts? There are so much more beautiful things for you to experience in life and for you to arise the understanding, like Dhamma contemplation. Understand? Dhamma inquiry, Dhamma sharing. Then experiencing life from moment to moment. Then appreciate life. Then learn to silence more and more, at peace more and more. Have more and more joy. Have more and more calmness, happiness, have space between thought. Then develop contentment, develop metta, loving kindness. Then develop the faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, the spiritual faculty. Then cultivate siddhi. Then be more gentle, more kind. Then have a lot of this wholesomeness of mind. Means be generous. Be helpful, be grateful, have respect for people who are worthy of respect. Then learn to appreciate things. When you can appreciate things, you really have good life, joy. When you don't appreciate, what do? You complain a lot. You understand? That's why contentment and appreciation is part of great virtue. You better write down, eh? Contentment and appreciative thought. Contentment. Appreciation. When you are able to appreciate life, appreciate what your friends, your genuine friend, your true friend, your loved ones, your parents, whoever will help you before. Yeah? You really appreciate what they have done for you. Your parents, how they sacrifice for you, provide for you, your education and everything. Yeah? How when you are sick, they really attend to you and all those things. Then if you are contented with life, you don't compare. So this one is when you have contentment, you don't compare. When you don't compare, you are so much at peace, isn't it? True or not? Yeah? So this is when you have appreciation, you don't complain. Understand? Not? Because you can appreciate life. You can appreciate what people have done for you. Then when you have contentment, you also don't complain. So all these are very beautiful. When you start to appreciate, your mind becomes beautiful. You have joy towards that person. You have that gratitude towards that person. When you appreciate, it gives rise to gratitude. So all these are the virtue of a true cultivator. That's why be appreciative of life. Have more and more virtue with regards to how to appreciate life and how to appreciate what people have done for you, what the world has given you, like my teacher. Yeah? Nature just give and give. We can learn from nature. We can learn from life. We can learn from everything. Because life itself is our greatest teacher. This is where the Dhamma is. The Dhamma is not in the book, understand? Not in the words, not in the theory and the concept. If you talk about the three evil rules, you cannot see it in life. You cannot see the evil rule in your form and mind. that is not the teaching. When you see this manifesting, that is the teaching. Then why the Buddha say these are evil root, make you evil? Then you see how the movement create that monster in you, the great selfishness in you, then make you violent, make you emotional, make you fearful, make you selfish, possessive. Yeah. How it draw the form and mind and create so much suffering to delusion. So all these are the Dhamma in life itself. So the daily mindfulness is to tackle this real Dhamma in life, not about the words and the concept and the theory. That one can never help you. That one is actually a trap. Suo zi zang. That's why under the 7 stages of purification, yeah. You remember? First is citta visuddhi, purification of content of consciousness. No, sila is the first one. I mean when it comes to the mind, the citta visuddhi. Then after that, the second, the next one is the view, ditti visuddhi. You have to purify all this. The content is what knowledge is all about. So zi zang. Then your view is from your knowledge. You think you know. That's why you will cling, you will attach, you will argue with people. So all these are the various types of purification that can only be done through mindfulness. Nothing else. That's why without mindfulness, you are like blind. You are like dead. You can't see. Your instrument, like the microscope, can magnify how many times. Without mindfulness, you are like zero magnification. Really? Zero magnification. Cannot see at all. You are like blind. Or the Hubble telescope. Far cannot see. Near also cannot see. Small one also cannot see. Distant one also cannot see. Because you don't have that sati, the instrument, the awareness, the mind. And that is the one that is beyond thought, beyond mind, beyond the words, beyond the... That is the one that is capable of direct seeing, awakening, understanding. Okay? So tonight, very good, huh? Sadhu. 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 Oh, still got 35 minutes. I thought already 10 something. Any more questions, English?
Actually, I haven't shared what I wanted to share.
Oh, okay, okay, very good. Now I can have
already
a drink.
Answered my...
Well, thank you, thank you. Yeah, you can continue with your sharing. No problem. Thank you. Yeah. I have a drink. Thanks.
Yeah, during one of the sitting, I think in the afternoon, usually it pauses around 4 o'clock and that. So I sit at the sitting posture and then I sit and then aware of those... different kind of sound, like
external.
Sound of the rain,
the external
sound
vibration,
of the thunder, sound of the even the gutter,
sound
in the gutter.
You start to have that ability to be sensitive to all those things.
And then, that one external then come into internal.
Yeah.
The heartbeat, the
breathing. Yes, yes, yes.
Even the body relaxation.
Yes.
Everything is there.
Correct. Anywhere then, where there is tension or tightness, you will feel it. Then you are able to be in that state of relaxed awareness, which is so different from a person that is tense and without awareness. Totally
then
different.
After a while, then I decide to lie down.
Very good.
So
you should do that. Well, lying down will free all the whatever energy build up. Then you will become very different.
Become very relaxed.
Yeah, very relaxed, and the awareness is very clear. Yeah. Very clear. But the awareness got nothing to disturb it. No tactile and all those things. Very good.
Then suddenly this message just comes, is it?
The understanding will come.
The understanding
come.
Or whatever. Is it? All these are conditioned things.
Correct, sadhu.
So I continue lie down and then continue. Like just
the
four
support. Relax, aware. Stabilize it. Then later on when you detect the gateway or what, then let it do itself. No, that one later. You don't worry. Later, after you stabilize it, you go to the heart there. Because now you can be aware of your heartbeat already. You are actually
very strong.
Yeah, that is a sign that you are very near the gateway. What you need is completely free the mind, don't want to know. Now is the stage where you just learn to be aware. The awareness, every time it detects something, whether tactile or all these things, before the wording you describe, huh? Because now you can describe where you need to share, you need to discuss. But when you are there, you can hear them. The clarity of that is very important, without word. The clarity is very important. So that stage you will go through. After you go through those stages, then you realize the mind that is your true mind is just aware. Means everything that happened is just aware. But there's clarity inside
very
that.
Fast.
Just aware. Then you realize all these things just move like that. That's why the understanding will come. Everything is dependent, originating. Condition, right? Without condition, it can never arise. What are the conditions? You need the sense data. That's why you remember the Buddha, when that three monks who went and see him, they came from different places. What he teach them is just the 18 sense rag, and they become arahant straight away. Two of the monks are from that Vamika Sutta. I think Vamika Sutta, where during the time of Kassapa Buddha, you remember? They were monk practicing. Then they make a agreement. Whoever become enlightened will look after the rest and make sure the rest also become enlightened. Then one of them become arahant. That one initially help them. Yeah. Then after that, another one become anagami. But the anagami one continue in the Brahma pure abode, the Brahma right. That's why he continue to see them. And because of their paramiya, after they die during that life, after Mahakasapa Buddha's life, they pass away, they are born in the heaven, the Deva realm, continuously until Sakyamuni Buddha came. Then this Brahma, who oversee them, realize they take human birth. The five of them all come down. That's why he came down and helped them. One of them, 7 years old, become arahant. Then got two, I think he, one of them went there with the Vamika reader, the reader that this Brahma gave to him, and he asked him to go and see the Buddha. Only he can explain the thing. Then the other one is the one that walked to see him and met him on the way in the house there. He talked to him 18 sense rhyme. Yeah, that is the one you will start to understand. This 18 sense line will awaken you one, because it talks about the sense basis. Then whatever sense basis, without the contact of the mind, there can be no consciousness. And for contact to arise, there must be sense data to imprint that sense basis. You understand? So contact, consciousness, and the sense data to imprint. And these are dependent originating, condition arising. The whole of the universe, all phenomena exhibit these characteristics, dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, impermanent, empty, non-self, lead to suffering. All the understanding will be there. Just by silencing your mind, aware, then suddenly it will understand. I still remember during the early days, I was aware at the heart here, you know. All of a sudden, inside, understand, there is nobody inside there. It's just that awareness, pumping. Understand? Then, hey, know you, hey, know me. Just an awareness inside there. Then, this whole thing is like a form of mind, it's like a mechanism. Understand? Like the physics experiment, nature's movement. Then, it starts to have that understanding. Every moment of awareness is not a person inside there aware. Nothing. It's just that heartbeat, that life force, the awareness. And the awareness got no word, nothing. That's why the realization just comes. And it's so clear, deep inside there. Then a lot of things will happen when you have the daily mindfulness. So the 18th century one, the next monk is the one that went and see him, Pindapat, you remember? He was doing the Pindapat, then the disciples stopped him. He said, no, I may not leave. He said, I need to see the Buddha and ask him. Then the Buddha saw that he has the potential to become an arahant. Then Then he stopped, he spin the pipe and told his disciple, he said, never mind, I will talk to him. Then he said, you listen. In the seeing, it's just a seeing consciousness, no one to see. In the hearing, it's just a hearing consciousness, no one to hear. He repeat for smell, taste, tactile, and thought. The moment he reached thought, he become Arahant. Straight away, he become Arahant. Because he understand causal conditionality, dependent origination. Everything is just like that. That's why in the note, you remember, you corrected that impermanent one. Everything is just form and mind, where as far as rebirth is concerned, there is no such thing as a permanent unchanging soul, a permanent eternal soul, or a permanent unchanging entity. Yeah. I think Yun Chai typed wrongly. He put impermanent unchanging entity. How can an impermanent thing be an unchanging entity? So it was a typo error. So because of that, this daily mindfulness is different from what... Do you recall last time I used to tell you at the retreat many years back or not? There are so much things that this nature understand I cannot share at that time because you all are not ready. You remember? Yeah? Maybe you remember? And now you start to understand. Because if you don't reach there, even if I share, it's like playing guitar to the cow. The cow cannot appreciate. The cow just... because he doesn't know what music is. But when you can appreciate what music is, I tell you, the moment that type of Dhamma come out, you will be glued to it, I tell you. And your faith is so strong. After that, you become very different. That's why the whole lot of cultivation, not until you hit that daily mindfulness, the real meditation hasn't arisen. I used to repeat that one many times in the retreat. Not until your daily mindfulness stabilized, you have not started the real meditation. That's why now Tammy also understand already what why sati is very important, why heedfulness is very... Otherwise, why must the Buddha, before he die, also strive on with heedfulness? Why don't he say, strive on and meditate? He specifically mentioned the word, no, heedfulness. No. And the Dhammapada words are very clearly, first verse 21, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die. The heedless I see that. I realize hardly anybody understood this Dhammapada word. They chant it during the all night chanting and all those things. But very few people can teach because they don't even really understand what heedfulness is. They thought heedfulness is mindfulness, which is not. Heedfulness is verse 23. The constantly meditative, ever mindful. That is heedfulness. So now that all this understanding is there, then you are able to go through like what you described. So your stage, you just aware, aware, aware. As long as you can be aware and with clarity, it will slow down. All this will slow down. Then even your heartbeat, the pounding all very clear, it will also slow down. Because you are just aware, aware, aware. Then finally, the words are not only missing, your form and mind completely quiet. It's like you have that trust to let the awareness just aware of whatever. Then as it becomes aware, your nature's vibration become more and more fine, more and more fine because of your understanding. The more understanding you have, your vibration will become more and more fine, more and more fine. This is wisdom energy. And this wisdom energy can finally cause your mundane mind to collapse. When it reaches the vibration that is so fine, the mundane mind is too gross to exist within that awareness, right? That's why it will collapse. Then when it collapses, there is the supramundane mind. We don't call it the mundane mind. But that one can only happen when you already enlightened, awakened. Connect to your nature, then that transformation happens. Once you connect to your nature, the yin yang energy melt and become pure energy, then you open up all the movement inside. those that they call opening up of chakra, they are tempering it from outside using the thought. They focus, they concentrate. But this one that go through your nature, the pure energy open up all this internal whatever nadis or whatever. You see, you know the difference between nadi and chakra or not? Chakras are major nerve centers, the 7 major nerve centers that control all the others. That's why they have this energy potential to build up. So these Kundalini people or the Hindu meditation or the 40 meditation object, they focus their thought there. Understand or not? Then they open up. To them it's open up. Actually it's tempering. Because before you become enlightened, you got wrong view. You got yin-yang imbalance. That's why when you play with this, when the energy is released, the yin-yang imbalance will cause problem to the cultivator, to the meditator. That's why don't go into energy field is because of that. But when you go through the gateway, whatever yin-yang imbalance, they will melt. But after you awaken, there is no more yin-yang imbalance. So this type of what they call wisdom energy will go in. Then it becomes pure energy. You will know one. As it go in, as it melt inside, the awareness inside is aware. And it will know where it go to, where it activate. So nadis are the minor chakras. Very small one. Very, very much smaller. And this one will be activated. And it is already wise. It know where to go. It know where to activate and where to open up. Then that's why that time I didn't do anything. I just relaxed, silent. Then I saw the movement, how it moved and how it, that's why trust, that word trust your nature to do, no thought involved at all. Then how it actually activate and open up all those things, huh? And you know the byproduct is what? Gas. That's why after that you fart a lot, but no smell. Yeah. Then all the byproduct is gas, just come out like that. That's why that time it cleans up your system. And you become like a perfect human being after that. Your whatever illness or sickness at that time, it will all heal by itself. Heal by itself. But after that, don't expect that to heal you all the while. Because it's like you take the what? Po yu means what? Po yu means what? In English is what? Nutritional medicine. If you have never taken, they're very effective. No? The moment you take, you can feel your health becoming very different. No? Yeah. But after you have taken for quite a while, then that po yong, if you still get sick, no more power already. Understand? No? Means despite the po yong, you also can be in the state of disease. Means succumb to that thing. Means that thing is more powerful than your po yong. Understand? No? So you will understand all this as you go along. But this type of energy is very useful. I remember when I tired or whatnot, I just rest inside there. Last time, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, I recover. Then I can drive for very long distance. Later on, I realize I need half an hour. Then later on, I need 1 hour. Then later on, I need 2 hours. Then if I got flu or whatnot, I rest, I recover on last time. Maximum 20 minutes or half an hour. Now I need one night, one full night until next morning. Then only I heal. Because it has already been 30 years. 89 until 2019, 30 years already. But still considered very good. Understand? After 30 years. Normally after 30 years. You get so used to this, you like no longer interested and curious, understand? But during that time when you go through it, it's a real experience. It's really beautiful, and you never understand that your body, your consciousness, the meditative understanding is capable of all this transformation in you. That's why I say your brain also change, everything change. Not only consciousness change, brain also change. The whole brain becomes so different. Then I remember there is something here, for here. Before the mundane mind drop off, something happened there. It just dropped off, like a layer of consciousness gone. then all of a sudden, like the cloud is no more. No? The cloud, the rain, the thunder, the vibration, the phenomenal world, all gone. Then just that pure nature shine forth. Then it's just like that. No? Like the sun's rays shine forth. No? That's why that time, no need to practice, no need to cultivate, no need to have the religious routine. It's naturally aware. It's just like that. So that one, how to tell people, how to share with people. People will say, you nuts. Where got such meditation? Well, they are so used to thought-based, understand? Consciousness, awareness-based, so far, I hardly read any book. Apart from Krishnamurti a bit. Nobody really can talk about the movement and the understanding of how it happened and all those things. And this is something that the cultivator will go through when you have the understanding. But the sainthood way is so much easier. So much easier. But even though the word is easier, it's not really that easy. For those who don't understand, I tell you, it's really very, very difficult. But for those who understand, I tell you, it's really, what, kacang putih? Really? It's as simple as that. That's why during the Buddha's time, four stanzas awakened already. Sometimes Asaji spoke two stanzas. Sariputta already sotapanna. Not from the mouth of the Buddha, no, from Asaji only, you know, he also awakened. And it's not difficult. And you look at Anatta Lakkhana, the five ascetic. One of them is a sotapanna, you know, after the, what they call, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. But the moment he shared the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta on non-self, or the Anatta nature of the form and maya, all five become arahant. No? You think they meditate? They were listening to him. And they just awakened. Like that. So awakening can happen if you listen attentively with the silent mind. And it will trigger. Yeah. And most of these people, they have cultivated before. That's why there is condition for it to happen. Yeah. But you never know, because your nature also can be very, very special. Otherwise, you won't be born during the sasana like that as a human being. And you won't be having the condition to listen to this type of Dhamma, I tell you. That's why all of you all have your past, your nature, without you knowing it. Then there are various conditions. Everyone is different. But a lot of you all, you have your potential. Then the moment when you connect, you will start to understand. When you start to inherit all this understanding from your nature, then you will start to understand all this. That's why during the early day, when I was going through the cultivation. But for me, it's different because of my past, my nature's past. That's why when I was born, I already knew my nature is different. And the way I go through life, the understanding, how it evolved and how it become what it is today, everything is like set already. Means that nature know what it wants. It has all the aspiration, all the vows and everything, the cultivation, the perfection, everything. That's why all this fall into place. Then this nature come, the form and mind just accord and flow, and you will know how to move. So if you reach that level of cultivation, means you will not fall anymore. Means you have crossed that, what they call, eighth ground of the Bodhisattvahood cultivation, where you will not fall back anymore. So during that time, that form and mind that come from those nature, they will know. They will have the understanding. That's why I always say, before this form and mind disperse, whatever you want to know, you better ask. Whatever this nature can understand, it will share. So all these are not recorded, not in the book, not in the text. But you have the condition, you can understand, you become beautiful. Then as you continue with your cultivation, you will start to evolve, and you will develop new understanding on your own, because each and every one of us are different. We are very unique. That's why I never really follow or copy any of my teacher and my guide. They came, they shared with me whatever that they have as condition. And everyone I learn is different. Everyone I pick up is different. But I never follow their way. Yeah, their way is different. Their way is unique to them. But each and every one, the condition is such, when I need that one appear. When I need the other one appear. And it's like unending. Yeah. But the funny thing is, after 1990, or 89 actually, to be precise, 89, the last guide came, the last teacher came. After that, until today, nobody. Yeah. And the last guy even told me, before he left me, he knew I will leave him in the year 1992. He said, "Do you always remember when there is no more earthly guy?" You know what is earthly guy? Those within the world. There will be an astral one coming to guide you. 20 years later, 2012, I met him again. I said, "None. Even astral one also didn't come." Then he laughed. "Ha ha ha." He said, "You don't need this." That's why a lot of this thing, you can never understand. And when we meet, the way we talk also, people cannot understand. I remember before he left me, somebody arranged for us to meet, because he requested it. That guy contacted me, KL guy. He is quite a wealthy guy. I think he had a bungalow in Ampang there, a very big bungalow with big land and all. So he left the whole house vacant for me and him. I went and see him. He came and fetched me, 2 o'clock p.m. I remember I went there. Then we talked. We talked until dinner time, 4 hours. Then we went for dinner. Then we leave. And in between, he told me, he said, "This whole universe, the two of us enough, is it? We don't need a third person, is it? We can talk forever, is it?" Because he understands my nature and I understand his nature. And he is very different. He's a very beautiful thing, too. And he knew a lot of it. That's why he told me a lot of things that he never tell other people. All those things. It is as if he knew my nature can understand all this. And I came to meet him was because of one of my very, very special vow. Very, very heavy and special. I got another teacher who told me, "Do you know how you come?" I said, "I don't know." He asked me 3 times. Then the last one, she answered, "You came with a very heavy vow." I straight away say, "I know." When he said that, I straight away say, "I know." Because I know what the vow is. This life, I also make the vow. Oh. That's how I can meet the last one also. But the last one, because that vow got something to do with the highest wisdom at any one time when my nature arises. That's why I met. So all this is depending on your understanding and the vow and the aspiration that you make. If you limit yourself, then that is your choice. If you do not limit yourself, then you can meet with any. That's why I do not limit just to the Buddhist teaching or the Dhamma. Understand? Whatever that can allow me to understand the highest wisdom at any one time when this nature arises, this nature vow to meet them, to encounter all these great beings who have the understanding. And I realized the last guy, what I need is to cut short my journey, to show me where the gateway is. That's the only thing I need from him. And after he activated that one, I move like anything. He used to tell me one. He said, "Last time you all study one, it's like conventional train. Tu chung 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 chung." He said, "This one bullet train arrived already." That's why when he mentioned that, I tend to smile and I say, Yeah, the energy is not bad. But the actual meaning is a lot deeper. Because thought-based, you really cannot match. Not to say thought-based, even Huining's hallmark, the three hallmark of Huining, if you reach that level of cultivation, means you have the Diamond Sutta understanding. And with that you cultivate. The way you cultivate the wholesomeness, the wisdom, the understanding, the arise is so different. World over, different. In the Diamond Sutta is mentioned, the merits that the normal cultivator receiver cannot compare with anybody who understands the four stanza and able to teach it. And the example given is very fantastic. You know, is that even if you were to be a cultivator, with the seven treasures of the universe you have, let's say you have a lot of them, and you were to offer it to all the Buddhas of the three period of time, the merit you receive cannot compare to that guy. Who understand the four stanza of the Diamond Sutta and share. That's why if you were to look at the way that statement that the Buddha gave, you realize the cultivation at that level, at the level of the Diamond Sutta, is so different. That's why the Diamond Sutta take you to the Huining's, that three hallmark teaching. The first hallmark is beyond thought. Take you to no thought, straight away. And that alone already wipe out all the thought-based teaching. That's why in Mahayana, I just asked my wife the other day, you heard of this word tun, wu, isn't it? Sudden enlightenment, isn't it? That's why his teaching is called sudden enlightenment. It's not to say that all enlightenment are gradual. It's all sudden one, like I share at the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta. You understand? Because the moment you understand, you awaken already. It's always sudden one. No such thing as gradual. Gradual one means they try to tell you, slowly, you meditate. Slowly, slowly. One day you will become enlightened. Enlightenment is not like that. The moment you understand, you awaken. As long as you don't understand, you can never awaken. That's why, like, yoni so manasika. You have means you have. You don't have means you don't have. No such thing as gradual, then one day. Of course, everybody that go through the sudden enlightenment also one day become like that. But Huining, where got one day? He listened, he heard, he understood, he awakened already. That's why everything is understanding. If you can be with the no mind or no thought, if you can be with that nature, you are the Buddha. Understand? If you can realize your true nature, you are the Buddha. Straight away, that awakening. That's why you must Ming Sing Jian Sing. And that will take you direct to the true mind. That's why he said, the Shen Xiu's disciple, when I see him in the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta, they ask him certain questions. He said, how did your teacher teach you, Shen Xiu? Then they describe Shen Xiu teach like that. Or he said, I don't teach like that. I take you direct to the true mind, he said. To the no thought mind. That awareness. That's why his one is the sudden teaching. And the sudden teaching is very powerful. And that itself is already way beyond the thought base. That's why after that, with that true mind you cultivate, you will realize the no mark of a self cultivating. And that is very penetrative. No mark of living beings. No mark of Dhamma, no mark of life, like the Heart Sutta. Within true emptiness, all this don't exist. The Dhamma also don't exist. Everything exists. That's why you will have the understanding. Then when you can reach that level of understanding and cultivate, then your mundane mind will collapse. After your mundane mind collapse, you will have no dwelling. Your mind cannot dwell because that true mind cannot dwell anywhere. The true mind is without thought. But there is a supramundane mind, understand, which is very fine. You have to learn to use that to live. To live life, to be in the world, you need a mind, understand not? And that mind is without image, not like the mundane mind, full of all this, what they call egoic delusion behind, then full of all these images, understand? Very gross. This one is so fine, like inside there no mind at all. I remember there was no movement at all, like there is no mind inside. But then the understanding inside will tell you, no mind, how do you perceive? How do you know? Of course, I still have memory, understand? But then this one is so fine. That's why I have to learn how to use it. I have to start like a baby, you know, learn how to use that mind. Then that time, you don't try to do mindfulness again, no? Because you cannot. That time of mind is so different. So a lot of these things, as you progress, you will start to understand on your own. That's why the Dhamma in Pachetang can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. Nobody else can have the understanding. Okay? What's the time now? Oh, exactly 10:30. Very good.
Two more messages is like, the first one is all this, whatever
dependent originating.
Dependent
originating, condition arising.
Condition. The next one is, all these condition things must cease for the unconditioned to arise.
Yeah, to arise, correct. That is what Nibbana is all about. Because the unconditioned is the one that will lead to the realization of Nibbana, the oneness nature. Because that Pu Sen Pu Mie is the unconditioned. If the form and mind does not cease, the realization of Nibbana cannot happen. And when it happens, you will know one. These three areas of consciousness shut down. The brain, the Tan Tien, the heart here. These three areas of consciousness shut down and they return to that nature. That cease. Completely cease. That's why Nibbana, you cannot talk. You cannot describe. There is no word, nothing. Even the pure awareness also gone. But you are not dead. You are not dead. Yeah. So all this will cease only when I told you the third type of very fine suffering. The moment of contact also suffering. You can feel it, you know, so fine. Then the moment of perception, you want to perceive something, that itself is suffering. You know. Even the moment of feeling is suffering. You know. That's why after that, your mind will understand. Think also like that, don't think also like that. And inside the nature that you want to suffer, you think. You go and use that mundane mind. You will understand. Then after that, your mind, just the whole thing, you just let it be. Then after that, a lot of things happen. Then the whole process of cessation, when it starts, it will show it to you. Where your awareness is clear enough already. Then how these three areas of consciousness all come back into one and cease. Then after that, cannot talk about it anymore. Then that whole thing is, it's not even stillness or whatever. No, there is no word at all. Because there is no pure awareness, no consciousness, nothing. Everything ceases. But it is not dead. Then it can come out. When it comes out, I still remember, the first thing is the three areas of consciousness come back. Then this whole brain, zoom, like a dynamo, start again. I witnessed it twice. Once in Cameron, that year 1989, when I come out in the bus, remember? The sense data come in. I saw the whole thing coming back. How this operate back. Then, when I was in New Zealand also, I went in. I was with my last teacher. Then, in between also, there are many occasions when this one went in, the cessation. That's why all this understanding, when it come, you cannot share with anybody. But nobody is ready at that time. My last teacher, when it happened in New Zealand, I was lying down on the couch meditating. It's like this couch, but with a higher back. He was sitting on the floor down there, you know, below. I was here. Then I went into that cessation. He felt something. He knew. after I come out, he straight away come out and ask me, what happened just now? Oh, I say, beautiful. I cannot talk, I cannot describe. Oh, then he keep on like asking me to share. He say, I told him, it's like, I understand that there is a nature which is completely different from the existential world. There is like the pneumonia. Within that pneumonia, the whole phenomenal world exists. Yeah. But this phenomenal world, not only unreal, this one also can cease. And when this one ceases, even the pneumonia also ceases. Then he looked at me, he said, that is beautiful. He said, he had never heard anybody talk like that. So a lot of things people cannot understand. The last one before we call it a day.
It's okay. The last one is even all Dhamma is conditioned.
Yeah, condition arising. Because all Dhamma is from the conditioned world. That's why in the Six Patriya Sutta, you remember, I keep on emphasizing. Because Dhamma exists within the conditioned world. Dhamma is for the conditioned world. Otherwise, you don't need Dhamma. Dhamma is for the living being to liberate. Understand? So the Dhamma exists for the existential world. But in the unconditioned, you don't need Dhamma. That's why the Heart Sutta says, 真空妙有, in true emptiness, all this doesn't exist. Okay? Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits, the transfer of merit. Then you can make your aspiration. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasana Ita wata jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patia sadu sadu sadu. We also chant the blessing for the nation. Devo asatakalena sasa sampati hito cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you can pay your respect and we end.
For being here tonight and sadhu for the Jiao brings.
There's one more class here next Thursday, then we'll be a break.
Yeah.